And there's this Japanese doctor, you know, and you know, they press all over your body. So is this sore? This sore? No, this is fine. And you know, I thought, God does that sometimes. He presses on us. Doesn't God do that sometimes? He presses on your mind. How's it over here? Oh, are we, oh, just chotto sore over there. Hey, what about your machas? Ah, not too bad. What about your heart? Fine, yeah. And then the Lord presses on your wallet. How's about this? No touch over there.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to be talking about two things that we need to steward well. And please be forewarned, this message may hit a sensitive nerve. But don't worry, it's all good. The doctor is in the house. Here he is with a message entitled, Time and Opportunity.
How many of you just feel like time is just speeding by? Would you raise your hand? Just fleeting by, yeah. That's a classic sign of age. Because I don't feel that way. I'm fine, just checking though for you guys' sake. But you know, that about life fleeting by was never so poignant as it was 2 years ago. My father has had prostate cancer, so I was having some health challenges, so I needed to go in to go check and see what was going on. And boy, it's at those times you just realize your life could be gone at any time. You just have a little bit of time left. And so when I was in there, I thought, I better just go get a full physical. And so I actually made an appointment and went right there to get a physical, and that's when they check you out completely. And if you don't know what prostate is, it's something down by your feet near your toes or something like that. Anyway, so I went to the physical, and there's this Japanese doctor, you know, and you know, they press all over your body to check. And I had just come off the eve of having a soccer injury on my hip bone right over here. So there's a little sore right here. And so, you know, they're checking and they press. Is this sore? This sore? No, this is fine. And he pressed down here, like checking for hernia, you know? He says, is this sore? Ow! Oh, must be a hernia. So he kept pushing. I said, ouch, no, it's a soccer thing. Ouch, he keeps pushing, you know? I said, when I say ouch, that means stop already. But it's funny, they keep pushing when you say ouch. You know why? Even though it hurts, it's not supposed to hurt when he pushes there. If it does, then something is wrong, that when it's pushed, we don't justify. It doesn't need to be justified or rationalized. It needs to be healed and fixed. And life is like that sometimes. Pushes on a sensitive area and you flare up, and we rationalize or justify that area and say, you don't be pushing there. When in actuality, it doesn't need to be rationalized or justified. It needs to be healed. Happened just the other night. I was going through Time Supermarket and I was pushing the cart. I was shopping, as any good husband would, and I was shopping for my wife. Actually, she was still in Oregon because of the funeral thing, and I was a bachelor, so I wanted to eat. So I had to buy food. So I was putting all, you know, mostly healthy stuff like Twinkies and Fig Newtons and Ritz crackers. You know, these are my favorite, peanut butter. So I had all of that stuff in there. Just then, I heard somebody, a lady, yelling behind me saying, aren't you Pastor Wayne Cordero? And I was in kind of a kolohe mood, so I stopped and I said, I didn't do it. She said, no, can I ask you a question? I laughed. I said, yeah, no problem. You know, sometimes I get in these moods. And she said, you want to know why I don't go to church? Says, shoots, just we're right in time, just vomit on my shoes, that's all right. So she said, because every time I go to church, they try to take my money. And I was still in this kolohe mood. I said, you too. She's kind of stepped back like, yeah. I said, I cannot believe it. And they wrestle you to the ground too and steal your wallet. She said, no, not quite. I said, and they lie to you and tell you if you give money, you get a free Toyota or something, and they don't give you the car. She said, no, not. And I said, and then you put the money in the offering after they forced you to put your hand and drop the money. And then they take the money. And instead of helping people heal marriages and counsel people and reach those that are hurting, they take the money and they gamble with it for cockfights in Waipahu. And she said, I got other things to do, thank you. I just couldn't figure out, you know, because some, isn't it true sometimes what we think is a real good argument is pretty lame? And you know, I thought, that's so true. God does that sometimes. He presses on us to check and see if we're sensitive about some area. Because if we are, we shouldn't be. And instead of rationalizing, maybe it needs to be healed. Doesn't God do that? Sometimes he presses on your mind. How's it over here? Oh, are we, oh just chotto so over there. Hey, what about your machas? Ah, not too bad. What about your heart? Fine, yeah. But your hands, it's all okay. And then the Lord presses on your wallet. How's about this? No touch over there. They touching that. And the Lord said, come here. And we run. And then we try to rationalize. And the Lord is saying, no, it shouldn't hurt when I touch there. And what he does is he actually gives a parable. A parable, and he presses. Maybe not so much on people's possessions, but more on the way they see their possessions. And today I want us to see through this parable how God wants to change our perspective on something he calls mammon, or the mammon of unrighteousness. And the word mammon is basically an umbrella word. For under it will be our possessions, our money, our talents, our skills, our house, our car, everything is called mammon. This is stuff that we use in this lifetime here and it'll be gone. He calls that mammon. And now at first glance and first read on this parable, if you're anything like me, you're going to come to a wrong conclusion, a confused conclusion, until you read to the end. So the scripture is going to come up on the PowerPoint, or you can read it along in your Bibles, Luke 16, if you'll turn there with me. And we'll be reading it out of the New American Standard. And when we come to verses 8 and 9, that's printed at the top of your notes, so we'll read that out of our notes together, so you can have your notes ready as well. But let me begin as I read you this parable. Now, Jesus is telling this to his audience, and they're listening. Now, in rapt attention, and Jesus is a master storyteller. Check this out. Now, he was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward or a money manager. And this steward was reported to him as squandering the master's possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account for your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. See, we don't know. It doesn't tell us whether or not this money manager had been wasting the master's money or maybe using his money for personal purposes and squandering it or depleting his amount for personal squandering. We don't know, but nevertheless, the master finds out and says, I'm going to give you a 2-week notice. You put all the books in order, then hand it over to me. Clean up your desk. You got a little bit of time left, and you're fired. And he walks out. Now, this steward thinks, oh, no, I better come up with a plan, because in 2 weeks, I'm going to be out on the street. I've still got 2 weeks, though, and I've got a little bit of time, and I still have jurisdiction over my master's money for 2 weeks. So I've got a little bit of opportunity, and I've got to leverage this so that I can make friendships with. I've got to redeem this influence, redeem the stuff that I have, and convert it into longer-lasting relationships so that in 2 weeks when I'm on the street, I have done something to leverage this influence that I have for more lasting benefit. So he says, I got to come up with a plan. The steward, verse 3, said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'm going to do. So that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they'll receive me into their homes. This is what I'm going to do. He's got a plan. So he summons each of his master's debtors. And he began with the first, and he said, how much do you owe my master? And he said, well, I owe 100 measures of oil, which is about 800 gallons. He said to him, quickly, take your bill and sit down and write 50, or slash it in half. You can just hear the guy saying, oh, you're kidding. You mean it's like you've just reduced my debt to half. That's right, that's right. Oh, man, thank you, thank you. I tell you, if there's anything I can ever do for you, all you got to do is ask. He said, don't worry, I will. He goes to the second debtor, and he says, what do you owe my master? How much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill out and write 80. You're kidding. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If there's anything I can ever do for you, all you got to do is ask. I will. Don't worry. Now, by this time, Jesus' audience are thinking, boo, bad money manager. We hate him. Bad. Hiss, hiss. But then Jesus spins this parable and catches them completely off guard. Listen, let's read it together. Ready? In our notes. Go. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And then, now they're saying, well, wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't get it. Wait a minute. What gives here? See, the master finds his manager and says, you did good. I got to hand it to you. You took a little bit of time that you had and a little bit of opportunity, and you converted that into lasting relationships with a shelf life far beyond your 2-week notice. I got to hand it to you. You're sharp. You're shrewd. Although you did it dishonestly, I got to hand it to you. Now, at this point, the people are going, whoa, 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 to Jesus. Well, what are you saying? Look, you're now calling bad good and good bad, and that bad dishonest money manager that should have been reprimanded is being praised. This is confusing. And Jesus continues, because he's a master storyteller. See, I got your attention? Now, let me interpret this parable and apply it to you. Because he says, often, the children of this age are shrewder in understanding this principle of converting money or oversight of mammon into more lasting relationships than are the children of the light. You gotta take a lesson from this money manager. And here it is. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, and it will be, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Let's read that last line that starts with, I tell you. Ready? Go. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Would you underline when it is gone? Because it will be. There's a shelf life to it. You will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Circle those two words, because that's going to be very important in what he's about to tell you. This is absolutely critical. Please catch this today. What he's saying here is that people of this world often understand this principle better than you and me. Although they have impure motives, you gotta understand this. What he's saying is this: you gotta understand and figure out how to leverage your little bit of time and little bit of opportunity, convert mammon into eternal benefit and eternal results. Let me explain it this way. About 2 years ago, I received a coupon from a friend on the Big Island that was a coupon for a golf round for two people, complimentary, at, I think it was Mauna Kea Golf Course, one of the best or better golf courses there on the Big Island, Kona side. And so I said to my wife, honey, this is like a golf round for two people. You know, this is like worth $120, $140, because it's about $60 or $70 comma Ina rate for golfing. I said, this is like worth a lot of money. Let's go. She said, oh, yeah. Yeah, we could fly over there and spend a whole day and just enjoy. Oh, yeah, because we golf together. So I said, okay, we're going to do that. And I put it in the coupon holder in our kitchen. A year and a half went by. And I saw it and I picked it up and I said, oh, we got to go. Yes, I'm so excited. And then I read it and it had an expiration date. 1 year from issue. Oh no, it's 6 months gone past that. So I quickly called the pro shop up on the Big Island. I said, hey, I got a coupon for two and it expired 6 months ago. And here's the coupon. It says such and such. Will you still honor it? He said, I'm so sorry, sir. We're not honoring that anymore. I said, oh, please honor it. He said, no, it was a promotion that we were doing and the promotion is over. It's gone. I'm sorry. We can't honor it. I said, is it worth anything? He said, it's not worth a thing. I looked at the bottom. I said, oh, yes, it is. It says cash value 1/20th of 1 cent. Click. You see, I had a little bit of time and a little bit of opportunity to convert that coupon into something more lasting in a friendship that we could have redeemed. But because I didn't do it, it is now worthless. A coupon, worthless. I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the mammon of unrighteousness so that when it fails and when it's gone, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. You say, well, Wayne, what is it saying, this eternal dwelling thing then? I'm starting to catch the redeeming thing, but what's this eternal dwelling? Here's the amazing principle. Listen carefully. When you die, you are going to give everything you have away. Because you can't take it with you. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse going up to the cemetery? No, there's no room for that in that little grave thing. No, you can't take it with you. You gotta give it away. Even the shirt on your back, the glasses on your head, everything. You're gonna give away everything. Your savings, your stocks, your bonds, your car, your house, everything will be given to somebody else. I just wanna applaud you because every single one of you will give away everything you ever have. He said, wait a minute, I ain't gonna give everything away over my dead body. But it's too late by then, you see, Wayne, because what you have now called mammon of your possessions, house, car, all of that stuff, there's an expiration date on it. Because when you die, it's finished. You can't use it anymore. You can't take it with you. So you got to rewind the tape. And if you're going to redeem these coupons, you got to redeem it before that expiration date. You got a little bit of time and a little bit of opportunity to redeem. Or here it is, convert these things into eternal benefit so that they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. So what are you talking about? Here it is. One day in heaven, someone may come up to me and say, hey, aren't you Wayne Cordero? I'm going to say, I didn't do it. No, they're going to say, hey, I am so-and-so. I say, oh, I don't know who you are, but I'm glad you're here. Yeah, I just want to welcome you into heaven. Oh, what made you part of the welcoming committee? Well, you remember when you guys sent a team to Nepal? Uh-huh. And you gave in the offering to cause that, to enable that to happen? Yeah, oh yeah, I remember. I was real passionate about that and I gave. Yeah, well, because you gave, that money that you put in the offering was converted into a mission sending project where a person came out of that and was sent to Nepal. And because of that, I got saved and I'm in heaven. And I just want to say welcome. Because of what you did, that investment was converted into eternal results. Welcome into eternal dwellings. Are you catching it? Someone else is going to come up and say, welcome. Oh, who are you? Oh, you might not remember me, but long ago, remember you invited me to your church and I didn't have a ride. So you used your car to pick me up. And that day you converted the use of that transportation mobile to pick me up. And when I went to your church, I received Christ and I'm here in heaven because you used mammon for eternal purposes and you converted it. Instead of just something for yourself, you redeemed it for eternal purposes. And I'm here in heaven. I just want to welcome you into eternal dwellings. Do you remember when you opened your home for a care group and some people, I included, got around the dinner table and you shared over the weeks and my heart slowly changed and I received Christ because you used your house for that. And I'm here in eternity because of that. And I want to say thank you for using your home. You see, what Jesus is saying is this. I know that what I give to you is in seed form. I understand that. And in its original form, it's not worth that much. But did you take it and convert it from its present state? Did you redeem it from its original form so that it would produce eternal results? That's how I want you to steward it. I want you to leverage it. I want you to increase it. You see, I know that I gave what you have. It's only in seed form. But did you eat the seed yourself? Or did you plant it so you could feed 4-5 villages? How are you doing? Because what Jesus is saying is this. Here it is. Listen, everything you have is a tool. Would you write that down? Everything I have is a tool for the kingdom of God that God can use. Everything I have is to be used in such a way that lives, people's lives will be touched for an eternity. And one day people will be in heaven because of the way that I use my possessions, mammon, my money. And Jesus is saying in this parable that we have an incredible opportunity to use what has been given to us, but we got to change its form. We've got to convert it for eternal results. And he says this throughout the New Testament. Let's read the scripture out of Matthew 25 now. He reiterates what he's saying, only in a little different angle. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. You see, I know God is saying, take what I gave you and increase it by your stewardship of it, because it will increase 5-fold, 10-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But you can't leave it in its original form for yourself. There's an expiration date. It'll be gone.
I come to glorify you. I dare. My own.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Time and Opportunity by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Tomorrow, an unusual twist at the end of the program. Pastor Wayne will have the audience do something that, well, we don't want to give it away, but it'll surprise a lot of people and it's sure to give you a chuckle. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. We also invite you to visit our website where you'll find other helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, series of messages on CD, videos, and much, much more. Visit us at www.enewhope.org and be sure to click on the Resources tab. That's enewhope.org. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.
come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose.